Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Hey folks, Isaac the Nothing Miller here. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Kayak Fishing Radio West. If you haven't found us, you should. We're on Twitter, Kayak Fishing Radio without the G. Blog Talk Radio's Kayak Fishing Radio, on Facebook at Kayak Fishing Radio, and online at kayakfishingradio.com. Tonight, I've got a great guest. This guy has fished pretty much the entire West Coast, Mexico to Alaska, California, Oregon, Washington. He's a Cocotat Ambassador, Ocean Kayak Pro, founder of the NorthwestKayakAnglers.com, and the Northern California Kayak Anglers Forums, Alan Polpol Sansano. Thanks for being on the show with me.
Yeah, no problem, Isaac. Actually, it's Pole Pole.
Pole Pole. Okay. That's there was never a definition on that. I understand it's Swahili, right?
Oh, how did you know there's no definition if you knew it was Swahili?
Well, pronunciation key. That's probably the word I was better looking for.
Yeah. So pole pole is a phrase that is used when you're climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. All the guides, they keep telling you pole pole, which means go slowly, take it easy, one step at a time. And years ago, I latched onto that phrase, and it's become my handle on pretty much all the fishing forums that I appear on or, participate on.
Excellent. Okay. It's good words to live by. Go slowly.
Yeah.
So, like I mentioned, you were one of the first people I thought of when we started this Kayak Fishing Radio West show, because I know you have fished the West Coast. Like I mentioned briefly, La Paz, Mexico, Alaska, you've fished for everything in those waters, and eager to hear what you have to share with us. What was one of your favorite kayak fishing moments?
Well, the most favorite has to be the salmon shark expedition that we did. I think that was about 4 years ago now. We, four of us, went up to Valdez and took a mothership out about 60 miles into Prince William Sound, and we were targeting salmon shark. And I don't know if you know what a salmon shark is, but it's in the same family as great white sharks and mako sharks. It's the sharks that have that are somewhat warm-blooded. And these sharks, they follow the salmon schools up into Alaska in the summertime, just feeding on them. And they get to be about 400, 450 pounds. And we actually caught a few of them.
Yeah, I would imagine anybody who spent any time on the internet looking about anything about kayak fishing has likely seen the videos from that trip. There's some intense footage. There's what, four of you guys out chasing salmon sharks? Now,
yeah,
tell me more about that.
Yeah, there were four of us on that trip. It was Alan Bushnell, who's a guide out at Santa Cruz, Chris Motina, who guides out of Seward, Alaska, and Howard McKim, who guides out of Ketchikan. And, like all good fishing trips, this adventure started around a fire late one evening camping, fishing. And I asked Howard, this is my first trip that I took with Howard. I said, Howard, what's on your list of things to do? And he said, I'd really like to catch a salmon shark here in Alaska. And one thing led to another. A few phone calls were made, and we started planning for it. And the next year, we went up and we did it.
That's awesome. Now, you guys had you said you had a mothership and the support boat. What was their role in the whole thing? Just getting you there, or how'd that work out?
We had a mothership to get us there because it was about 60 miles from port.
Okay.
And there's no roads out to that area. The only way to get there is by boat. And then we, after we launched the kayaks, they launched a little Zodiac just to sort of keep tabs on us. Actually the Zodiac came in handy, because within 5 minutes of hitting the water, all four of us were hooked up and being towed in different directions by these big salmon sharks.
Wow. I can imagine that is the ultimate sleigh ride.
Yeah, it was. It started out as a sleigh ride, and then it just got down and dirty. So we hooked into these fish kind of at the top of a ridge, and after they hooked up, they just ran straight away from the ridge, which was the sleigh ride portion. But then they went straight down about 600 feet and hunkered down, which was the down and dirty portion of the fight.
So it turns into more of a halibut trip. A little bit
bigger. except you couldn't move these things for a while.
Wow, okay. What do you use for bait on something like that, though, man? Salmon sharks, I would assume you're hunking big old pieces of chum salmon at them.
Yeah, we weren't hunking pieces of salmon. We were using whole pink salmon, 5-pound bait.
Nice. Now, how long did these fights go on? That was kind of...
Yeah, it was about an hour. And in that hour, it turns out that one of the guys lost a fish but then hooked another one. And then the other three of us, we all sort of got to color in about a five-minute window all around the same time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that turned into a bit of mayhem because, what do you do when you have a 400-pound shark at color on a kayak? And we were probably 2 miles apart from each other just because the sharks were going in different directions.
And one Zodiac.
And one big boat.
And one big boat. Wow.
But the big boat was on the anchor, so it wasn't really moving anywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would imagine they're doing too much. That's pretty impressive. No big fears from you guys? What were the nerves like for that? How anxious were you guys to do this?
Well, so on the boat ride out there, we thought, maybe we'll fish off the boat and see if we can catch one and figure out how this whole thing is done. And by the time we got out there, we got into the area, and the next thing I know, we're splashing kayaks. Nobody waited at all. It was like, let's just get in the water and do it.
Awesome.
Yeah. But like I said, we all hooked up within 5 minutes of each other. I mean, Howard launched first. And we started trolling, and I hear over the radio, I'm getting a bite. Oh, I'm hooked up. And I turned my kayak, and I was going to go take video of him. And I turned around and started paddling towards him, and then all of a sudden I was hooked up. And so we really didn't have time to think about it. It just happened. And at that point in time, you know how it is. Adrenaline just takes over, and you concentrate on getting a fish in.
That's awesome. Let's see. So, okay, outside of Alaska, you've done a lot of fishing down in Mexico, too, I understand.
Yeah, I had the opportunity last year to go on a mothership trip out of La Paz. And in the spring, four of us went down there and did sort of an exploratory trip. So I went down again with Alan Bushnell, Alan is my partner in a lot of my trips, and also brought in a couple of other guys, Danny Viscarda, who's from the East Coast, and I was on Alaska trip with him, and we enjoyed fishing with each other, so sort of invited him along. And then Boogie D from Hawaii, who I had fished in Hawaii with a couple times before, also said, "Hey bro, come on out, let's jump on this boat and see what's happening." And we spent a week on the boat, and we caught a lot of fish. And we caught a lot of yellowtail and mahi-mahi, or dorado as they're called in Mexico, and
yeah.
Sierra, and you name it. We were just, and it was a great time. And after that trip, I said, I should offer this as a guided trip. And some people showed interest. And in October, we went back, and more of the same, a lot of mahi-mahi. And then I was just back again a couple weeks ago with some people, and it was a repeat of last spring, a lot of yellowtail, a lot of cabrilla. And it's just something about being on a boat in the Sea of Cortez for a week. No internet, no phone, no contact with anything, just, sun and fishing. And it's an awesome experience.
I bet that's just amazing. And, of course, great weather the whole time, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's sunny. But, the springtime, though, it's kind of the transitional season, so you can get a little bit of wind, but it's still warm and sunny. That's one of the great things about doing it off a big boat is when it was windy, we fished off the big boat, and when it calmed down, we fished off the kayaks.
On the kayaks.
Yeah, pretty much fished from sun up to till the time we went to sleep.
Nice. So what's an average day on that trip like? What I mean, you get up in the morning, and what's next?
Yeah, so in the springtime, you get up in the morning, and it's usually they have these they're called Coromwell winds. So it's a southerly wind that kicks up in the evening and lasts through mid-morning. So usually you're not in any hurry to get going in the morning time. You just, you know, brew a pot of coffee, make a nice breakfast, and then lazily get on your way. And then about mid-morning, we'll be out somewhere on a bank somewhere fishing. And we'll do that for a couple hours. If we splash the kayaks, you know, we'll hang in the area, see what it's like. Usually about midday, it's time to go just check out another place, mostly because we can.
Right.
And we'll fish throughout the afternoon, another 3-4 hour session on the kayaks. And then late afternoon, early evening, we'll start heading in to get on anchor for the evening, which is always a nice time because, you know, you can fish inshore or you can kayak into the shore and take a hike. The islands there are beautiful. Or you can go snorkeling. The snorkeling is great. Lots of reef fish, lots of things to see. So it's kind of that's the downtime of the day from about 4 o'clock till whatever, till bedtime basically, where you can do your own thing and or just do nothing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So I imagine the eating's pretty good on that trip too, with all the fresh Dorado hanging around.
Yeah, we eat a lot of fish. And, you know, we do bring some chicken and some beef out just for a break in it. But I'd say we eat well. I mean, and you have to, because after a day of paddling, you know how it is. You get you burn a lot of calories, so you got to eat healthy meals.
That it is. Now the kayaks that you use, I'm assuming you're not bringing your kayak from home since you're flying down to Mexico. Where are the kayaks coming from? How's that work out?
Yeah, I work through an outfit down there and I rent them from them.
Okay.
So they have a fleet of Ocean Kayak Prowler 13s that we use down there, which are, you know, a great fishing kayak, and pretty much they just show up at the boat when we leave and they pick them up after we're gone.
Nice. Well, yeah, you got a great stable, one of the ultimate fishing platforms in my book. Something that's equally good in fresh or salt water. So that's an awesome deal there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's see. Now, I had another question. What all? I mean, I know you've got the Dorado, the Yellowtail. What else are you targeting there, as far as the fish goes?
So we do target other fish. It just depends on what happens to be going through at that time of year.
Okay.
And one of the nice things on being a big boat is we have about an 80, 90 mile range and we can run to where we think the bite is. We've caught wahoo on these trips. We haven't yet really tangled with a good bite on yellowfin tuna, but last year off the big boat when we were moving, every time we move, this boat only cruises at 7 knots, so we're trolling. We had a good hookup that lasted about 3 hours and ended up with a busted rod and a busted line, and we never saw the fish.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was kind of a heartbreaker, but that was likely a big yellowfin tuna.
Excellent.
Yeah, and so there's always that chance of hooking into the big one down there.
See, now you can only do it when you're on the plastic and have a good time.
Yeah, exactly, and when you're expecting it, because so fighting a big tuna like that on – It was a 40-pound outfit. You know, if we had known that we were gearing up for elephants, we wouldn't have stuck that out in this trolling spread.
That definitely makes sense. Now, this trip booked, I mean, these trips booked up real quick, didn't they?
Yeah, it was booked last fall. The spring one booked up. I have 3 out of 4 slots booked on the October trip. But that fourth one will go... Yeah, on the October trip, actually, is kind of nice. I'm not actually guiding that one myself this time. Howard McKim's going to guide that one for me, and I'm going to take one of his trips up in Alaska in August. So we sort of did a trip exchange.
Oh, hey, that sounds fair to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I'm not complaining.
Have you done any of the Allen's or not, I'm sorry, one of Howard's trips before?
You know, so I went on a trip with Howard about 5 years ago, and it was sort of his first foray into, or maybe not his first, but one of his early forays into offering a guided trip and a wilderness experience. And that's when I first met Howard. And then, of course, we did the salmon shark thing. And then I also went up about 2 years ago now and did an exploratory trip with him where him and I went out to what's now known as his Misty Bay trips, or Misty Fjords kayak fishing trips. And we used to call it the Foggy Bay trips. And so we took a writer and a photographer out there for a week and did a story with them. And it was such a great trip that Howard said, hey, next year I'm offering this, which was last year he's offered it as a regular trip. And then this year he's offering it as a trip as well. And that's the one that I'm going to guide on.
Oh, well, that sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah.
So are there any more open
trips? That's a good trip. No, this year, that one actually booked up really fast. There's actually two trips, and it's six people each, and they booked up early in the wintertime. And to the point that he's already opened up next year's trips, if you're interested, you can look
there
at what's going on next year. Yeah.
And that's Ketchikan.
Ketchikan Kayak Co.com.
There you go.
Ketchikan Kayak Company. Yeah, you can look that up on the web.
Yeah, that's a trip that I've always wanted to make. I've seen the reports and photos from people that have gone in the past, and Dev talked about killer week of just camping and kayak fishing for everything. I mean, these guys, the pictures I've seen back, you know, big lings, rockfish, salmon, you know, there's a lot of stuff up there.
Yeah, you know, those there's a lot of silver salmon up there that time of year. There's a lot of halibut up there that time of year. You know, the lings are a little bit tough to come by, but when you catch one, it's a really quality fish. And then the rockfish are just annoying because they bug you when you're trying to catch other fish, basically.
I can imagine. So I know you're from Seattle, correct?
Yes, born and raised.
Excellent. Same here. Excellent. You're in San Jose now.
Yes.
What do you miss about fishing in the Pacific Northwest that you wish you could have there?
I miss the easy access to salmon fishing, to tell you the truth. Down here in the Bay Area, you know, we have brief periods of when the salmon come in close enough to get to easily, you know, instead of a 7 mile paddle straight out from shore. But for the most part, they're 7 miles out from shore.
Right.
So you got to work hard to get out to them. In Seattle, you know, I can just go out on the Puget Sound and go about 5 minutes out on the water and I'm fishing.
Right.
So I really miss the Puget Sound salmon fishery. That's the one I grew up fishing, that thing. My father and I used to go out every weekend from spring till fall fishing Puget Sound. I consider that my home water, and I really enjoy fishing it.
Okay, now let's flip it a little bit. You've been in San Jose for a little while. What have you found in fishing San Jose that you wish we had up here in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, so it's just the opposite. I have easy access to rock fishing and lingcod fishing and California halibut fishing, but I don't have the salmon. And in Puget Sound, well, you can't even fish for rockfish anymore. It's closed down, and it's a different fishery, essentially.
Right. Right.
And you know, down here in California, the striped bass are fun. And you don't.
Oh, that's right. You've got the stripers. The stripers.
Yeah.
Tell me about the striper fishery there.
So you can have your choice. You know, in the summertime, you can get them out in the salt water. And sometimes you're fishing a lot like salmon, except, you know, you're fishing with a sardine or something like that, or mooching for them. And then as it approaches wintertime, they push up into the delta. And I don't usually fish the delta so much, but I do like to fish the salmon and the stripers in the ocean, live bait fishing for them on the edge of the surf. It's an exciting fishery.
Huh. So I know we do have stripers here in Oregon.
Yeah, some of the rivers. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very elusive, but I know they're out there. That's definitely a fishery I've been experimenting with a little bit, looking at areas and grabbing what little bits of information I can. So one of these days, something might happen.
I would fish the beaches around the mouths of those rivers, find a pot of bait working, and just jig some up and work the live bait. If they're there, you'll get them.
Sounds excellent. I know a couple of spots where they can likely show up. I just got to figure out exactly when that is. Let's see. What do you have going on right now? What's the fishing like in California?
Well, you know, our saltwater season is, if you can't tell, I'm a saltwater angler first and foremost.
Yes.
So, our saltwater season is really just sort of getting started right now. Some of the areas aren't opened up yet. Others opened up on May 15th. And so it's a little bit early. It can be some scratch fishing on rockfish early until the water warms up a little bit and turns the bite on. But it's also that time of year where the halibut start coming in, so you can try to target them. And it's kind of mixed bag this time of year. Even some salmon are showing. So it's just a matter of finding the right pattern and working it.
Right. Excellent. Yeah, I remember talking to somebody here recently about me going out fishing, and I'm like, hold up, you can't go fishing yet. I was going to go out of Pacific City, and they didn't realize that I was in Oregon, where it's perfectly legal. Had somebody at the same time talking about me going out, and he thought I was in Alaska and said, you can't go fishing for lings yet. I'm like, I'm in Oregon. It's all right. We got it. So,
yeah, and that's the nice part about Oregon, year-round fisheries.
Year-round fisheries, so long as the weather cooperates.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was the situation. Well, that and the launch location. That's what I learned last week. If you're going to go to a new place to launch, make sure you've been there first, and you can launch from there.
Yeah, so where'd you try to launch from?
So we were down, we went, Bob's Creek Wayside, south of Yahats, Oregon. And, you know, if we could have gotten on the water, halibut grounds were right there. Good little spot, but the beach, first off, we had a major low tide because of the full moon.
Full moon, yeah.
Yeah, it was negative 2.5 foot, major low tide. So the clammers were having a heyday, except where we were at, because there were no clammers, because there wasn't a beach. It was very rocky and definitely made for a difficult launch scenario. If we could have gotten the kayaks down to the water without breaking an ankle, we'd have a two-minute window to get through the entire surf zone before the swell was backing up at the end. And, right where it backed up, we had 2 minutes to get past that point, or there was an 8-foot break.
Yeah. Did you guys have that south swell going last week?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, down here, too. It was big.
Yeah, it was, but it was just when things would lay down and that surf would back up a little bit that would come through. We ended up sitting there staring at the waves come in and never made it out. So, but I guess that's what happens. So, surf launches seem a lot easier down there in California.
They can
not
be,
so.
But I mean, it doesn't. If you're going through the surf, it's not always easy. I think we do have a few more sheltered areas to actually launch from, which helps. And than Oregon, and then much better than Washington. Washington is super tough.
That it is. Most of the Washington coast is so rocky. I think most of the guys are going in out of the bays. Myself, at least that's what I would do. It's just
They're rocky on the north side, but you don't have road access to a lot of it. And then on the south side, it's more sandy, which is just a beach break that'll pound you.
Yep.
And there's not much fishing off of it, so it's tough.
It is. So here in Oregon, we have the Oregon Rockfish Classic, which was started on your website, the Northwest Kayak Anglers Forums. and that's coming up next month. Are you excited for that?
Yeah, that's going to be June 18th, I believe, out of Depot Bay, Oregon. I'm actually going to come up for that one. It's about an 11-hour drive from my door to Depot Bay, so I'm going to take a long weekend and get up there and see some of you guys. There's a lot of you guys I haven't even met, and the rest of you I haven't seen in a long time, at least a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years. So I'm anxious to get up there and rekindle old friendships.
Yeah, you know, it's 4 weeks away. It's about time I start preparing for that trip. Looking forward to that for sure. That's probably the quintessential tournament in the Pacific Northwest. And that's all I can say about it.
That's the biggest gathering, I would think, of the more hardcore kayak anglers in Washington and Oregon.
Yeah. Well, you know, being that the event, the first event was at Pacific City. You were there for that, correct?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And then subsequently, it was moved to Depot Bay, which is a great protected launch for people that were less certain about doing a surf launch there on the beach. So it's a little bit different. Like I said, there's with that launching out of Depot Bay, it makes things a lot easier. Have you ever been through there?
I have not. I was actually just thinking, you're thinking it's easy, and I'm worried about all the etiquette of going through the hole and having to radio in and blow your horn and all that.
Yeah, there's the etiquette, you know, but you're on a kayak, you've got a quick chirp on the radio and a horn blast, and you run through this chute 120 feet long, and you're in. You're done. There's no waves breaking. You're out. It's that easy. So it's great for people that are, you know, that have a comfort level to be out saltwater fishing, but don't have the experience with the surf launch. So that's always, like I said, that's always a great event, and that's a great location to fish from. I still need to gear up for that, though. haven't done a whole lot of fishing out of Depot Bay, so I'm not that familiar with the area. But I can say, though, the fishing I have done out there has been pretty good. Any recent fishing news from you? Been out fishing lately?
You know, I haven't fished since I got back from Mexico about 3 weeks ago. Earlier, I have a new newborn at home. Well, it's not newborn anymore. I guess he's 10 months old. So you know how that goes.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, nonetheless.
Yeah, but I'd like to give a shout-out to my son, Kalen.
Excellent.
Who some people like to tease me I named after Kalen's grubs, the fishing lures that are so popular.
Yes. The big 8-inch grubs, yes.
Yeah. You know them, the Magambos and the Big Ends and all those.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Anybody who fishes this part of the world knows the Kalens. So one of the only manufacturers of the big grubs.
Yep.
So, well, that's great. Well, you know, and after, you know, fishing a week in Mexico, you need a little bit of downtime, right?
Yeah, but I'm hoping to get out this weekend somewhere on the north coast of California, some more remote areas. Since it's a long weekend, I'll take a little extra time to drive further north.
Excellent. Sounds like a good time. Well, hey, you know, I'll let you get going. Thank you for being on the show with me tonight.
Sure.
You know, any last thoughts? Where can we find you online?
You can find me online at either NorthwestKayakAnglers.com or at NorCalKayakAnglers.com. And I'm the administrator of both sites. I go by the handle Pole Pole. We talked about that, and I'm easily reachable at either of those sites.
Excellent. Well, hey, you know what? Thanks a lot, Alan. I look forward to meeting you next month at the Oregon Rockfish Classic.
Okay, good enough. Can't wait to meet you, too.
Great. Hey, thanks for being on the show with me. We'll call it good here.
Okay, good night.
Awesome. Thank you. Good night.